Om Shanti and good morning. The topic suggested for this morning class is the law of karma. I have divided the subject for the sake of facility of explanation into 6 parts. The first is, what is the necessity of understanding this law? What we will be gaining by understanding this? What will be the benefits that will come to us from an understanding of this law? Now, we find that since a very long time, I would say since some millennia in the past, people in all countries have been occupied with some questions. There are some questions which are common to all nations, to all individuals, and these concern the life of individuals. One, for example, is, what are the sufferings in this world due to? What is the cause behind all the sufferings? All religions, all social sciences have tried to answer this question. How to eradicate these sufferings? And in order to understand the methodology of eradicating these sufferings, the first thing which is required is to understand what the sufferings are caused. What is the basic cause which leads to suffering? Some religions have tried to answer that it is Satan which causes sufferings. Others say, if God created the world, and God being kind and loving and merciful, also compassionate, why is it that the sufferings are there? So why there is evil in this world and why there are suffering in this world? This is a basic question. And the law of karma, you will see, answers this question. What are the sufferings due to? In the world, if it is created by God, which is father to us, mother to us, which is loveful, why there are sufferings? Are they due to Satan? Are they, because even though God is almighty and all knowledgeful and he has a loving relationship with us, can he not eradicate these sufferings from us? We being his children, why we suffer? Then another question is, we see that some children from their very early childhood, when they are yet infants, we find they are suffering physically, mentally, and in so many other forms. Now, they have just started their life, but still we find that there are sufferings in them. What are these sufferings due to? How they are caused? We also see that there are some saintly people, some good people, some people whose quality of life as compared to many others is good. They are high-souled people, but still we find they are suffering. Now, if they are doing good action for the sake of the welfare of mankind, why is it that they are suffering? And we also find that there are some accidents, what we call accidents. Are accidents really accidents? Or they also have some cause behind them? The general law which governs all branches of knowledge is that there is no effect without a cause. So if there are accidents, are they without a cause? And if they also have a cause, what is that cause? The law of karma explains this aspect of life also. And secondly, I will now come to what is law of karma. Now, first of all, I explain what benefits come to us when we understand this law. I said the law of karma gives explanation to all these questions. It answers all these questions. And I would like to say that by answering these questions, it puts us on the right track. It improves the quality of our life. It puts the responsibility of actions on ourselves. Because if we think that it is Satan who is responsible for sufferings, or that it is the will of God, some people say it is the will of God. Now, then the responsibility does not devolve on us, But the law of karma says that each one is responsible for his own actions. The sufferings are caused by his own actions. So it gives us responsibility. And it says that the soul is its own friend, it's its own best friend, and its own enemy. If I do good actions, then I am my own friend. And if I do bad actions, I am my own enemy. So the law of karma, you will see, gives responsibility to us for our actions. So by doing that, it makes us cautious about our actions, whatever we do, and that reforms our life. Now, what is it? What is this law of karma? I will say it's the moral law of causation, or you can say the law of moral causation. It explains that there is a moral dimension of our human action. In this way, it is different from the physical action or the chemical action or the geophysical action or all other kinds of actions which we study in various natural sciences. It says that whatever a human being or a living being does, it has a moral dimension also. Morally, it may be either good or it may be bad. So we have to take care of our action from this point of view, whatever we do, whether it's morally good or it's morally bad. Even the state laws or the municipal laws also keep in mind the moral aspect of the question. Even the social sciences also consider the moral quality of a human action. But they take only what is called the cognizable action. There are certain actions which can be taken notice of, about which they can legislate. Suppose a person becomes angry. By being angry, he uses a blunt weapon or a sharp-edged weapon and kills a person or beats him very harshly. Now, if he physically harms that person so that it can be taken notice of by some way, he can be medically examined and there can be witnesses to that action, then there can be legislation about that action. There can be a penal code. The government generally take notice of such kinds of actions and they call it as the cognizable action. Cognizable crime. It may be economic crime, it may be political crime, or it may be antisocial activity. But besides this, there may be certain other actions which the government cannot take notice of. If it takes notice of all those actions, I think not a single human being will be free from it. Even the judge who judges, even the legislator who legislates, they themselves will be involved somehow or the other, because they themselves will be judged as the violators of those laws. So, the moral law takes notice. The law of karma says even if a government does not catch a criminal, does not punish a culprit, if he is not punished for his bad action, but moral law will not leave him. He will have to suffer for his, and he will be rewarded for his good action. So the moral law is inviolable. The state, with all its police and investigative agencies, may not be able to take hold of a criminal. He may get scot free and may run away and may escape the clutches of law. But so far as the moral law is concerned, no one can escape. So it is an inbuilt mechanism, I should say, in this world, which because of which one has either to suffer because of a bad action or one is rewarded for one. Law of karma, or as I said, the moral law of causation, has its biblical equivalent in as you sow, social duty. But this moral law, the law of karma, is in greater detail. It explains the laws of action. Now, in order to understand this law of action, first of all we have to see that action works at various levels. So therefore I am now taking the third part of it, the effects of karma. The first thing is that when a person performs an action, then and there, at that very moment, instantly I should say, he suffers because of that act. Suppose a person becomes angry. Now it's not that he would suffer for his anger at some later date. Maybe he would suffer later also. But at that very moment also he suffers. There are some qualities of actions, some kinds of actions, which will make a person suffer then and there. So when we come to the
question of what is good and what is bad action. We should know that bad action is that which causes suffering. But it causes suffering not only later on, maybe after some time, but then and there. The very nature of bad action is that the one who does it, one who is responsible for doing it, he suffers from it. The very first thing is that he loses his peace. And the second effect of bad action is that one forms tendency.
Once a person does bad action, then he has a tendency to do that action again. It's not that the action is finished then there after it has been done, but it leaves its traces on our mind. And those traces or tracks again lead us to that action. They cause us a tendency, some kind of inclination to indulge into that kind of action again. So that is another bad, harmful effect. And these tendencies, when they get stronger, they form habits. Then you are even not aware that you are indulging in some wrong action. By habit, even unawarely, you indulge into it. And this is another bad effect of a bad action. Similarly, good actions may give us good habits. The third effect of a bad action is that it gives us bad sanskaras. What do I mean by sanskaras? Sanskaras may not only be in the form of habits and tendencies in this life, but these may go with us in our next life also. We are not aware of them. You may say they form our subconscious mind. They really are the guiding factors for our actions. They are the key to most of our actions. Many of our actions in our life we do without our conscious will, yet we do them because we have sanskaras, and these sanskaras have been performed. They have been formed because of our actions, which we did repeatedly in the past. And then the fourth is that we may get punishment in this very life for our bad actions. Either the government law, the state law takes notice of it, or if those laws do not apply to us, or somehow we escape the clutches of government or state law, then somehow or the other, maybe due to natural calamities, maybe in the form of physical ailments, maybe in the form of bad treatment from our fellow beings, or in any other form, we suffer punishment because of our bad actions. We may lose our position, we may have monetary harm, something different from these may happen. Another effect of action is that it causes worldwide disturbances. A bad action is not only bad for me, but it sets bad vibrations, and they have their impact worldwide. They may affect the plant life, they may affect the environment, they in fact influence the whole cosmos, the whole atmosphere. So this gives us a sense of greater responsibility for our action. Whatever we do, we cannot say it is our business. How should others be concerned about it? Others are naturally concerned about it because it affects them also, visibly or invisibly. Even medical sciences now have found that if a person smokes, the other also who is traveling by the side of this person, he may also be affected. Or that even our vibrations affect our plants. The botanists have performed experiments and found if suppose there is a flower pot in my house and I think it's a beautiful flower, very green, very colorful, it's giving me fresh and pure air, it's the decoration for my room, and they find that the plant grows. If on the other hand, I think I spent money uselessly on this, it must be thrown out. The space is valuable, it's occupying space. So on and so forth. The plant begins to wither. It begins to die. So our vibrations, not only our words and our actions, they influence the whole atmosphere, so that in physical senses it's said that if you move your finger, you move the stars. And another effect of our actions is that others follow our actions. If a person does an action, others may imitate it. And by imitating, they may also become involved in that bad action, and the result would be that the world would become a bad place to live because this would spread. So this gives us a responsibility if we know that these are the effects of karma. then we become very responsible, more responsible about our action, that we should do good action. So the slogan, the motto which the law of karma gives to us is, be good and do good. Now, what is the difference between good action and bad action? And what are the kinds of action? First of all, I would like to discuss what are the kinds of action. People have defined the kinds of action variously. Now, there are certain kinds of action which are common to all the explanations, and it is generally known that action is good or bad because there are certain factors which demarcate the good from the bad. There is a line of demarcation between the various kinds of action. And the good action, what is called sukarma or satkarma, the good action, in Hindi or Sanskrit we call it sukarma, shreshth karma, the best kind of action, or satvik karma, which is the best in terms of its moral quality. And the vicious action is also called the tamoguni karma or the bad karma, nikrisht karma. It is also called vikarma. Now the main distinction I would like to say is the vikarma and sukarma, the good action and the bad action, the vice and the virtue. Now what makes an action good and what makes an action bad? Question is this. I would say there are many factors, there is not one. One is, it begins from identity. Each one of us has got one basic consciousness, form of consciousness. It is I am. I am, this is the realization or the feeling of our existence. Each conscient being has this basic awareness, namely, I am. Now the question arises, who I am? Am I a body or I am a soul? Am I an American or an Indian? Or to what race I belong? So on and so forth. This now begins in various forms, and people identify with their country, with their nationality, with their ethnic groups, with their races, with the gender, so on and so forth. So the very first thing which affects our karma is this, whether I am correctly aware of my identity. And as we all know now, that basically this I am should be I am a soul. This should be our real awareness. So the question which first of all determines whether an action is good or bad is whether I have proper awareness of my identity. Whether I am aware that I am a soul or I am aware I am a body. Even if I say I am an Indian or I am a male, so on and so forth, all these kinds of identity or awareness is based on body consciousness. So I think the basic point of distinction will be whether I consider myself a body or a soul. So the first point which determines whether an action is good or bad is whether it is based on the right type of identity or the wrong type of identity. In other words, whether it is based on the identity that I am a soul or on the identity that I am a body. And all that begins with it. Secondly, its relationship. Now, this identity determines my relationship. If I am an Indian, then I think that I have my relationship with Indians in a particular way as distinguished from my other kinds of relationships. Or if I am a soul, then my relationship with all others is as of brothers, because we are children of the same father. So this identity then leads me to relationship. This is how our action is built up, though we are not aware of it. But if you just analyze any one of your actions, you will find that these are the things, these are the factors which determine the quality of my action. Then the third is emotions. Now these relations in turn determine my emotions. Whether I hate someone or I love someone, whether I feel detached with someone or I have attachment with someone, whether I have jealousy with someone or I am just cooperative with another person. Now all these attitudes and outlook, this factor which determines my behavior, my treatment to others, is determined by my relationships and also by my emotions. Then comes in question my motive, my intention. Now, then, before I indulge into any action, I always have some motive. or some intention. And these motives and intentions have their roots in desires. I do have some desires. Without desires, there cannot be any action. But whether that desire is good or bad, it depends upon the motive. Why I want this? Why I want to do this kind of action? Even in jurisprudence, even in state law, when a person is taken notice of and a suit is filed against a person, suppose someone has committed murder. Now, he is charged with this crime. Now, the question is whether he had the intention to murder. A person may have been cleaning his gun and suddenly the trigger may have went off and somebody may have been accidentally killed. The intention behind it may not have been to kill him. So, he will get free because his intention was not to murder, but somehow it happened. So, he will get less severe punishment, even if he is not given, freedom from this charge. So, the intention to do our action or the motive behind our action is also responsible for the quality of our actions. And then the means, whenever we do an action, whether we indulge into it at the mental level, at the physical level, or mental and physical both, even the mental action is also an action. Suppose someone does not kill another person, but thinks of killing him. Even this is an action. It may not have been put into physical action. So whether it is only at the mental level or the physical level, or I spend money also on this action, and I involve others also on this action, in this action, and for how long I have been engaged in that action, and what is the place where I do this action. There are some places which are reserved for various kinds of good purposes. If I violate or spoil the sanctity of those places, then that action may be all the more bad. So, it also depends upon what place it was, what time it was, what duration it was, and whether the money was spent on it, the time was, how much time it was spent upon it. All this goes into to determine the quality of the action. And whether I did it with attachment or with detachment. So, if I want to know whether an action was good or bad, I have first of all to determine whether it was done in a state of body consciousness or soul consciousness. What was the awareness of my identity? If a person is soul conscious, you will find that all the other factors which I explained, they will be in proper order. They will be in proper shape. They will be in correct form. If a person is soul conscious, his relationship with others will be of love because we are all children of the same father who is loving and kind. And then our relationship being good, our motive for action will also be good. And our motive being good, the money we will spend, the time we will spend, the thought we will have, all these will also be of a high quality, of a noble quality, of a good quality. So, if you do not go into all these details, but if you just determine in what identity we have, awareness of identity we have, that distinguishes between a good action and a bad action. So, the very first thing if we want to do good action and be good is, we have to take care of this, that our awareness should be the awareness of ourself as souls, not as bodies. We should not be body conscious, but we should be soul conscious. So, this brings in the importance of memory. Memory is a very important factor. And this, I think, is for the first time that this spiritual university is telling us that memory is a tool which can bring it a social revolution. A moral revolution. It can enhance the quality of our life. It can change the whole world. The remembrance or the memory. What kind of memory we have or what kind of awareness we have, it all determines our relationship, our moods, our motives, our behavior, and all that goes with it. If we just therefore focus only on this, that we remember that we are souls, we are children of God, and therefore we are brothers among themselves, ourselves. then this in itself would be a revolutionary factor. How to change the world, how to bring a new age, how to bring a golden age, how to make the world a happy place to live. If you just want to ask what single factor is responsible, then I would say soul consciousness, the remembrance, the memory that I am a soul. Because no action can be done without the memory. Can you give me an instance of an action which was totally, cut off from all kinds of memories? Memory is the basic. Our emotions are also determined by our memory, and so are all other things. So this kind of memory and this kind of awareness that I am a soul, it gives us sukarma or shreshth karma. And add to this the memory of God. If we are aware of the Supreme Being, then it brings good qualities in our life. They become at play. Then what happens is that we have good karma. So this is what distinguishes good karma from bad karma. And now if you want to have more details about good karma and bad karma, then it can be said that a bad karma generally has 6 of the evils associated with this. Either sex lust, anger, greed, attachment, ego, and laziness. Any one of these 6. And all these are born from body consciousness. So you can say either that we should be soul conscious. If we are soul conscious, then all these 6 evils will not be there. So any vikarma or sinful action or bad action is tainted by these 6 or any one of these 6. Generally all the 6 of them go together. Maybe one is dominant, the others are just hidden. It never perhaps happens that they are not together. But visibly there may be only one which is tainting our thoughts and our behavior, but the other may be behind them. So if our mind is free of them, and it can be free of them only when I am soul conscious and when I am linked to God, the Supreme Father. And herein is the necessity of meditation, because meditation keeps us in the proper awareness of our identity and gives us a link with the Supreme Being, and that leads us to good action. Now the question is how we can be liberated from the bondage of actions, because whatever actions we do, I said that they have many kinds of effects, and one of the effects is that it gives us habits, it gives us sanskaras, we form the tendency to do it again and again, and this is more serious than the little punishment we get from those actions then and there. And the second is that it forms bondages, because whatever action we do in relation to another human being or another living being, and that causes our bondage to that human soul in whose connection or in whose relationship we did that action. So in order that we may be liberated from those bondages of action, we have to find out some way. Because if life after life I have been doing some bad actions, and those actions are there, I have yet to reap the fruit thereof, and in my this short life I reap the fruit of some actions, the others still remain, then I take another life to reap the fruit of those actions, and this goes on, because in my next life I may do some more actions, and those actions will again take me to bondage, and before I have broken those bondages, others would be caused. So this will be an endless process. How to get liberated from the bondage of action? Because action, they say, is of many kinds. When I was explaining to you that we did some action in the past, even the accidents, I said are not accidents. We call them accidents because prima facie we are not able to explain their causes. But their causes must be there. The law of moral causation says that there cannot be any fruit, any effect without any cause. So even accidents are explicable or explainable on the basis of moral quality of our past actions. And if we take the past actions, there are 2 kinds of past actions. One is the kind of past actions of which the fruit has come for us to reap. The time has come when they have ripened. They are called the prarabdha karma, our fate, our luck, good or bad. Now, these are called the prarabdha karma. And the others are the Sanchit karma. There are so many past karmas which we did one life after the other, which have not yet ripened. And they may come to us in the future. They are called the Sanchit karma, the store of karmas, which has not yet been utilized, of which we have not yet reaped the fruit. Those are called the Sanchit karma. Now, in order to get rid of all these past actions, what should we do? The question is this. And how to transform our habits? And how to change our sanskaras? How to get liberated from all this? So, the question ultimately can be resolved into, I think, the four main things. First is, how to change our sanskaras? Because if our sanskaras are there, then again I have got the tendency to do those actions. And how can I be liberated from bad action unless and until that tendency has been eliminated or that sanskara has been eliminated? So how to get freedom from this? And the second is the Sanchit karmas. As I said, there is a storehouse of past karmas which I have built up because of my action in the past lives. How to get rid of them? Because a time may come when I will have to reap the fruit thereof. Is there a way? Is there a method whereby we can be liberated from our past actions and their bondages before they have ripened and before I experience them? And the third is how in future to do good action so that never again I do the bad action. And the fourth is that I may do action in a way that I do not get involved anymore into any kind of bondages. And the answer to all this is meditation or yoga. Karma yoga as well as Raj yoga. Why is it that I give this answer? The question, as I told you earlier, was that all our actions are due to our memories. And they start from our identity, from the awareness of our identity. If I am thinking that I am a soul, then my actions will be good. If, on the other hand, I think that I am a body, then my actions will be vikarmas. And meditation or yoga gives me the proper identity. Again, if I am aware of God as a loving being, a kind being, and one who is compassionate, one who is merciful, and one who has all those divine qualities, then my own state of being is of the high moral quality, and the result is that my present actions will also be good. And it is only the fire of yoga which can liberate me from the store of my past actions. What I say is Sanchit karma. My Sanchit karmas can be destroyed by no other way except by the deep fire of tapasya, yoga. The more intensely I meditate, then these can be rooted out. There is no other way of rooting them out. So if I want to be liberated from the bondage of action, from the bondage of my sanskaras, my habits, my tendencies, my inclinations, and if in future I want to make sure for me that I will always indulge in good actions, then the only way is meditate, meditate, and meditate. Yoga, yoga, and yoga. Tapasya, tapasya, and tapasya. Or if you want to say it in simple words, it's the proper awareness of the self and the mental link with the Supreme Being. And with it goes our consciousness of what is right, what is bad. This, I would say, is in brief what is told to us by the law of karma. And for these we have the four subjects, namely Jnana, spiritual knowledge, which tells us about real identity and tells us what is good from bad. And we have another subject, namely the subject of moral values, which tells us that these are the qualities which make an action good as compared to another kind of action which is bad. For example, that we should have humility, not pride, that we should have patience rather than be impatient, that we should be non-violent and we should not indulge in violence. So this is another subject which tells us what are the values, moral values, human values, which make our action qualitatively better. And another is service. If we do action with the feeling of service, with a spirit of renunciation, with a spirit of surrender to God, with a spirit of doing some good to others, Shubh Bhavna and Shubh Kamna, that we have good motive and good intention of doing service, then only our action, our present action will be good. Our future will be built on our present And in present, if we have these, that we are doing our action with a sense of detachment, with a spirit of renunciation, with a spirit of self-surrender, and with proper awareness of our identity, and with a link with God, then our actions will be good. Om Shanti.